From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Tristan Ozbay, Hungarian State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungary Helps Program. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. This is going to be a monumental edition of the podcast. We have had some of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet, and today will be, I guarantee, no exception. I just happened to be talking to Lauren Green, who is the chief religion correspondent for Fox, and she was talking about how Hungary is making monumental strides in assisting persecuted Christians around the world. According to the Hungarian foreign minister, Hungary has been instrumental in rebuilding 33 torn down Christian churches in Lebanon alone. And again, that's just one example. Today we're going to be talking about a country with less than 1% of the world's population, a country that has already spent somewhere in the vicinity of $50 million helping persecuted Christians. And I should add that persecuted Christians make up 8 out of 10 cases of religious persecution globally. The Prime Minister of Hungary said this. He said, "A whole culture is under organized attack. Our culture, our civilization." Of course, he was talking about Christianity. And he said, "This is not only taking place in Africa, not only in the Middle East, but in Europe, the land of the most successful Christian culture." And he went on to say that from a Hungarian perspective, if a nation is not proud of its national identity, or if it does not stick to its historic, cultural, and religious heritage, then that country and that nation will not be strong. Why? Because then that nation will lose its anchor. So today we're going to be talking about Christianity and Christian persecution. We're also going to be talking about a country, a relatively small country, an EU country, that is making a monumental difference worldwide. We might say that this is a country demonstrably salt and light in a lost, searching, and very changing world. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking on the Bible Answer Man broadcast about the Beatitudes. And our Lord, in the last of the Beatitudes, said this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I bring that up because I think that the guest on Hank Unplugged today is a person who has an eternal perspective. And because of that, he's making a transcendent difference in the present. His name, Tristan Ozbay. And he is the secretary, or the state secretary, for the Aid of Persecuted Christians, as well as the Hungary Helps Program. He's also the vice president of the Hungarian Christian Democratic People's Party, and he has earned a PhD in geosciences. It'd be interesting to find out how he got from that PhD to what he's doing today. Tristan is the only person with a government title that has the term persecuted Christians in it. And I am delighted to welcome Tristan Osbe to the Hank Unplugged podcast. Welcome, Tristan.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for this almost transcendent introduction.
Well, I think you deserve it. I've been following you for a while. As I mentioned at the opening, Lauren Green was talking to me about what you're doing. She's obviously a very famous news correspondent. She's the chief religion correspondent for Fox News. She wrote the foreword to my latest book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. A very famous judge in Canada brought up your name in a conversation recently. So you are definitely on the radar of many people because you have committed yourself to making a difference while there is yet time. And you unabashedly talk about the persecution of Christians. Why is this so important to you?
Well, of course, it is very important for me personally. I'm a Hungarian Christian. I'm 42 years old, which means that I lived my first 11 years of my lifetime under communist dictatorship, which we had in Hungary until almost 1990. Of course, I was a small child at that time, but I still have learned what anti-Christian dictatorship is. I still have experienced when your parents tell you that you are not allowed to say in school that you are Christian and you go to the mass, because then you will get bad grades. You are not allowed to talk about your family history. You're not allowed to talk about your ancestors, some of them who had been jailed by the communists. And I experienced that was one of my earliest memories, that when you're not allowed to express freely your faith. Also, I'm a politician of the Christian Democratic People's Party. That has been already mentioned in the introduction, which means that I belong to that very old and unfortunately weakening political tradition, especially European political tradition, which is creating its own policies and political statement based on the social teachings of the Bible. And also, I have other personal reasons why I'm personally committed to this cause. I have a distant Armenian heritage, Armenians being the first Christian nation of the world, and ever since when they converted to Christianity, being persecuted for that. And finally, I served in the Holy Land as a Hungarian diplomat to Israel for 4 years, where, among other communities, I also met and developed an empathy for the Christians of the Holy East, the Christians who have been living in the cradle of Christianity, not only as a religion, but also as the Christian civilization. So that's about my personal commitment. But I have been appointed to this position by the Prime Minister of Hungary. So preserving Christianity and protecting those people who are persecuted for the Christian faith is a commitment of the Hungarian government. It's a Hungarian government policy, and it's largely supported by the Hungarian people. We have made some research, and more than 2/3 of the Hungarian people think that Christian persecution is a major human rights crisis, and persecuted Christians deserve any support the West and the Christian countries can give them. So I'm only representing the joint commitment to persecuted Christians of pretty much the majority of the Hungarian people.
Yeah, maybe you can expand on that a little bit, because you are, as I mentioned in the opening, the only person with a government title that has the term persecuted Christians in it. That's an incredible distinction, but I think through that distinction, you're casting a light for others to walk in.
That is part of our mission. Our number one priority is to save lives who are murdered in the world just because they are attending an Easter mass or other religious service, save lives of Christians who had been suffering genocidal attacks by Daesh or other jihadist terrorist organizations in the Middle East. So that is the number one, to save the lives and also to enable Christian communities to remain in their homeland. So even if they had to flee, after a while, after security is guaranteed for them to return to their ancestor homeland. But of course, Hungary is a small country. We are only 10 million people. We are a new member state of the European Union. We have suffered through the devastation of communist dictatorship and the terrible tragedies of the 20th century. So therefore, we are not the richest, the wealthiest of the European Union member states. So we can do only so much. The Hungary Helps program, which is Hungary's humanitarian program with a special priority to protect persecuted Christians, achieved some results. We were managed to benefit and support more than 100,000 Christian people in the world. On the other hand, surveys and research show that more than 300 million Christian people are discriminated or persecuted for the faith. So even if we save 100,000, that still leaves us more than several hundreds of millions of people, and we are not going to be able to do that alone. And there have been many charity organizations, faith-based organizations, and churches who have been supporting persecuted Christians for decades, but there haven't been any governments until very recently.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Secretary Tristan Osbay. One of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming that totalitarianism can't happen in their own country. Many American Christians are making that very mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. The new book, Live Not by Lies, by Rod Dreher, will snap you out of the slumber and equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
For years, emigres from the former Soviet Union have seen telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics intrude into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative Christians. Technology and consumerism create the possibility of a corporate surveillance state, and the pandemic has made our country vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said that one of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming totalitarianism can't happen in their country. Many American Christians are making that mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher, will help equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Secretary Tristan Osbay, in their conversation.
The Hungary Helps program, which is Hungary's humanitarian program with a special priority to protect persecuted Christians, achieved some results. We were managed to benefit and support more than 100,000 Christian people in the world. On the other hand, surveys and research show that more than 300 million Christian people are discriminated or persecuted for the faith. So even if we save 100,000, that still leaves us more than several hundreds of millions of people, and we are not going to be able to do that alone. And there have been many charity organizations, faith-based organizations, and churches who have been supporting persecuted Christians for decades, but there haven't been any governments until very recently. So indeed, when Hungary, the Hungarian government, decided to set up the first ever governmental unit to aid persecuted Christians, we have done our mission in able to inspire other governments. We are trying to build an international coalition of good-willing governments of like-minded countries who are willing to recognize the fact that in these times, Christian persecution is the largest and the most concealed human rights crisis of our time. And we need to recognize Christian persecution, but we also need to provide humanitarian assistance to these people. So one part is a humanitarian mission. The other part is the diplomatic mission to convince other governments to follow the example.
I hope you can give our audience a little sense of Hungary's history as well. It dates back to the early Middle Ages, and I believe it was 1000 AD when King Stephen converted to Christianity. That marked the beginning of the Kingdom of Hungary. Give us a little sense of your country's history.
Well, Hungary is a 1,000-year-old Christian nation. And I'm in a very blessed situation that as a Western politician, I'm allowed to say this, that I belong to a Christian nation. We have recently adopted a new constitution in 2011. We needed to adopt a new constitution because the previous one was created under a communist dictatorship when Soviet troops have occupied Hungary. Therefore, we consider that constitution illegitimate. So in 2011, we have adopted a new constitution, and it starts with the word God. The first sentence of the Hungarian constitution is God bless the Hungarians. And also in this constitution, we recognize, and this is a quote from the constitution, we recognize the role of Christianity in preserving nationhood. We value the various religious traditions of our country, but we do recognize Christianity in preserving our nationhood. And to understand why it is important and why we have written it in our constitution, you have to see our history. We are a 1,000-year-old country and nation, but we have been always a small country, a small nation by the numbers, not by spirit, not by culture, but by the numbers. We are in a very central geostrategical location in the central Eastern Europe, and throughout our history, we have been always stuck between big powers. For example, we have been stuck between the Ottoman Empire and the Christian, then Christian medieval Europe. Because of that, we always suffered terrible losses, and our nation has been almost completely wiped off the face of the earth. We have been suffered and occupied by the Mongolians back in the 13th century, and then by the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire has put much of Hungary under Ottoman Muslim rule for 160 years, so more than 1.5 of centuries. That almost wiped off completely the population of Hungary, and we have learned at that time what does political Islam, expansive religious extremist Islam means to us and how it almost destroyed us. We were ruled by the Habsburg Empire, then we have been occupied by the Nazis during the World War, and that also ended us on the wrong side of the Second World War. We have lost two-thirds of our territories, which is now outside of Hungary. One-third of Hungarians therefore live as ethnic minorities outside of the borders of current Hungary. And then the final great tragedy that my country had to suffer, once again, an occupying power came from the east. That was the anti-Christian communist dictatorship that I already mentioned. So here we are now, we have regained our independence. We have joined the European Union. We have regained our Christian identity, only to find out that the Western part of Europe, and also, unfortunately, the bigger part of the formerly Christian Western civilization, is losing its identity. It's denying its Christian heritage. And whoever, like the Hungarian government and the Hungarian people, are sticking to their Christian values and trying to keep the societies Christian and say no to illegal mass migration, especially from non-Christian countries like us, we are constantly under labeling, censorship, and attacks from the largely liberal mainstream of the Western countries and some other international organizations. So I hope I gave you a historical arch to understand where we are coming from and what our values and principles are.
Yeah, it's incredibly helpful. I'm thinking as you're speaking, Tristan, that I was born in the Netherlands, and the Netherlands had a very distinctly Christian identity. They're one of the lands of the Reformation, and yet the Netherlands today has completely abandoned its Christian heritage. You're doing exactly the opposite, and I wonder what it's like for a country that's an EU country to march against the current, to go against the tide, to buck what's happening with the demise of Western civilization?
Well, it is a struggle. It is a fight, but it's a good fight. And we remain persistent on our values. And we suffer constantly attacks, sanctions, and false allegations. But personally, as a politician who are always being criticized and labeled with the nastiest terms, I gain lots of strength from the persecuted Christians. I mean, they are suffering terrorist attacks for expressing their faith, and we only have to suffer the labels and the false allegations and the trash talk from, from CNN and the liberal major media outlets or European Union, Brussels, liberals, and then the different George Soros-funded organizations. So that's nothing compared to what our Christian brothers and sisters are suffering as a physical persecution. And also, from time to time, we receive positive feedback and we find friends and allies along the way. For example, we have found friends and allies with the Polish government and the Polish people. And also we have found many true Christian politicians and supporters and people in the U.S. as well.
I did a podcast with Ryszard Legutko, who was a former minister of education in Poland. And he also spoke about the solidarity between Poland and your country, Hungary. But you mentioned the rhetoric that has been levied against your country and its leaders. Your prime minister, who, by the way, I heard a lot about him just reading Google entries. But then I listened to him. I listened to him in an interview as he spoke and answered questions off the cuff for somewhere in the vicinity of an hour. And I was so taken by his very plain-spoken wisdom. But he's been called a racist. He's been said to be using hatred for political profit. But yet he is unabashedly pro-Christian, and that has won him a third consecutive term with two-thirds majority. And I remember him saying in one of the interviews that he has the liberty to say what he really thinks because of his winning the elections with a strong majority. But he said if a nation is not proud of its national identity, if a nation doesn't stick to historical, cultural, and religious heritage, then that country will not be strong for very long, because then that country will lose its identity. Can you speak to the issue of identity, how important it is for a country to retain or maintain its identity?
Well, I would like to point back to my previous answer. I just explained and told you about Hungarian history of 1,000 years old of struggle, being occupied, being between the big countries. And we observe that the fact that Hungarians still exist as a nation, we owe it, against all odds, we still exist. We owe this to preserving our identity, our Christian identity.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Tristan Osbay. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.